Psalm 91. And we're going to begin verse 1, read the entire chapter. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him I will trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes thou shalt behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon thou shalt trample under feet. Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this portion of your word. Just pray you would help us to understand it fully, and that we would learn today how we might be able to abide under your shadow each day. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Of course, through this year, we've been considering the thought of having 2020 spiritual vision. We want to recognize the things that are spiritual and that they are as real as the things that are material and physical. And in many ways, we should recognize that the things that are spiritual should capture our attention much more than what is material and physical, because those things will pass away. But the things that are spiritual, the things that are not seen, and the things that are eternal, that are going to last forever. And so, in our study, we've been considering the thought of seeing the invisible God, of recognizing His presence, seeing Him at work in our lives. We've been seeing God through the eyes of Moses and as well through the eyes of David, two men of great faith who both had a deep relationship with God. And like them, we need to seek God's face that we may see His power and His glory evident in our lives, and so that we can behold the beauty of the Lord as we looked at last week. And so this morning, we want to consider another thought given in the Scriptures. Something we can, by faith, experience in our lives. That we as believers can and should desire to abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And so as we look into this thought and into this passage, we essentially want to answer three questions this morning. The first is, what is the shadow of the Almighty? Second, what blessings does the shadow of the Almighty provide us? And then third, how does the shadow of the Almighty become a reality to us? And so to answer the first question, we need to understand the shadow of the Almighty in the sense of God providing shade, shelter, and protection for us. And this is a sense given in Isaiah chapter 25 and verse number 4. Isaiah chapter 25, verse 4, speaking of God, it says, "For thou hast been a strength to the poor, a strength to the needy in his distress, a refuge from the storm, a shadow from the heat, when the blast of the terrible ones is as a storm against the wall." And so we see that and we understand this idea of a shadow from the heat. And when it is a hot day, I think all of us appreciate shade. That, of course, we've been going through winter right now, and so we want as much sun as we can, but once we get around to the middle of summer, we're going to be looking for and appreciating the shade that we can find. If it's a big tree we can sit under on a hot day, that gives us a lot of relief, and we can rest and relax in the shade. And as well, we think when it is a hot day, if If it's possible for us to remain under that shade throughout the day, sometimes we can only jump into the shade for a few minutes, but if we can stay in the shade all through the day or somehow even bring shade with us, whether it be an umbrella or a large canopy that we can put over where we're going to be, that makes being out in the heat all the more bearable. And so we can think of being in the shadow of the Almighty, we can think of it that there is much of the elements of this world that when we're exposed to it, that it can wear us down, it can overwhelm us. And so what God does is he seeks to step between us and those things, those challenges and struggles and just the heat of and burden of each day. He steps between us, gives us shade, relief, and protection from those elements. But as well, as we will see momentarily, the Bible also speaks of us being under the shadow of God's wings. We actually see that in verse 4 of this passage, where he says of God that he shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. Now, obviously, this is speaking metaphorically, because God does not actually have wings and feathers. But God's meaning we understand from nature itself. This might be true of several different bird species, but I do know that it's true of chickens, that when a mother hen has a brood of chicks, they might wander around in the yard and peck with her. But if that mother senses a storm is coming, she calls her chicks to herself and she spreads her wings over them and they nestle in underneath her and she protects them from the storm. And if it's a serious hailstorm, the mother hen may not survive the storm, but she will give her life to ensure that her chicks will survive. And so that protective, self-sacrificial love that the mother hen displays, we really can think of it as a picture of God's great love for us. And in many ways, that is the synopsis of the gospel, that we can think of it in this way, that the great hailstorm of judgment is coming upon us all because of our sins against God and our fellow man. But by suffering and dying on the cross to pay for our sins, Jesus essentially spread his wings over us. And he calls us to come under his wings, to find shelter in his sacrifice. And we think of that as he spreads his wings, that there's plenty of room for us all underneath those wings. But the sad thing is that so many refuse to come and are left to face the storm all alone. And that is why we see Jesus' lament in Matthew chapter 23 and verse number 37, where he says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. And so we understand that, of the protection God wants to give to us, the deliverance he wants to provide for us. And so understanding all of this, we seek to answer the second question. What blessings does the shadow of the Almighty provide us? And knowing that, of course, would make us all the more desiring of coming underneath the shadow of his wings. So having understood the phrase already helps to answer the question, but from the scriptures we see some specific blessings. And first, in the shadow of the Almighty, we can find refuge and deliverance. A refuge is a shelter or a protection from danger and distress. It's a stronghold or a sanctuary which is able to protect those within it due to its great strength. It would be a place that is inaccessible to the enemy. When we were traveling through Oklahoma and Kansas on our family trip a few years ago, we found something that we'd never seen before at the other RV campgrounds, and that was storm shelters. That was kind of unique, and we thought, that's interesting, but when we had quite a significant storm that night, it's like, okay, where are these shelters, and how are they outfitted? And so I went out in the storm to kind of make sure that I knew where to go, and fortunately it didn't sound the sirens that we had to get in there. It was a bad storm, but not as bad as they can get. But it's that thought that if They're designed so that if there was a tornado that ripped through the area and left a wake of destruction in its path, that within that shelter, everyone within it would be safe and sound, that the trailers and RVs could be strewn around the yard, but the people within would be safe. And we think as well, in the olden days, the days of castles and walled cities, that if there was an invading army that came into a country, that a lot of times the people in the villages around would run into the city or run into the castle, and they would be safe from harm. And of course, in those days, some cities and castles could be besieged, and if they were unable to withstand the battering of their walls by the enemy siege engines, then that refuge could be compromised. But we realize the refuge that God provides us has the strength to withstand and repel any attack. And so for that reason, as we abide in the shadow of the Almighty, we need not to be afraid or to be overwhelmed with anxiety of what could happen. And we see this as we read verses 5 to 12 of this psalm, where he says, "Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday." That in those four statements, we see many things that encompass much of what we fear in life, that always there's concerns and worries of someone in the night seeking to steal or to invade. And we think of the arrow that flieth by day. These are things that a person could certainly worry about if they wanted to. That back then, of course, it would almost be the same as like a stray bullet nowadays of possibly being hit by one. Or we see of pestilence, of some kind of disease that's spreading, and we're worried that it's going to come and take us. These different things that happen, that he says you don't have to be afraid of them because we're under his wings. He says, 1,000 shall fall at thy side, 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. And it says, only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. It says, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge of thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Now we see his promised protection, that he will watch over us. He will even send his angels to protect us. And this is where we get the thought of guardian angels, and certainly that's how they operate in our lives, and that's something we're going to be considering in much more depth later on this year. But we think of that, of just how so many people today are crippled by worry, they're paralyzed by fear, but when we abide under the shadow of the Almighty, we don't have to be afraid. Because whatever challenges or threats or storms we might face, when we're safe inside the shelter of his love, we can have peace and rest. We think of what David speaks of elsewhere in Psalm 57 and verse number 1, where he says, "Be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed." And that's the thing, is that sometimes we pray to God that the storms and calamities of life won't come. But we know from the scriptures that they are going to come, that it's not some strange thing, that the Bible promises that we will, through much tribulation, enter the kingdom of God. But the thing is we can rest knowing that God is our refuge from the storm, that we seek refuge in him, under his shadow, and we can remain there until those calamities be overpassed. And that's the thing, that the troubles that we face, they're not going to be forever. And we learn that as we go through different trials in life, that it's something that we pass through for a time, but there's always another side that we get to. And so it's as we learn to come to him and seek him as a refuge, then it gives us a calmness and a peace in those times of difficulty. And so because the shadow of the Almighty provides such a refuge to us, we know that we can put our trust in it. We read in Psalm 36, verse 7, "How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God, therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings." That we can know that God is always with us. We know that he cares for us. We know that the refuge that he provides is going to hold. And we can trust in him alone. And too often, I think, we make the mistake in life of trying to provide our own refuge. That we need a backup plan, whether it be financially, whether it be relationally. So many other things that we think, well, I have to cover my bases. I have to almost make sure if God doesn't come through that I'll be looked after even without him. And really, we ought to understand that these refuges that we try to build ourselves, that we hastily construct in the moment, that they're not going to hold, that we can't rely upon them. And oftentimes what happens with us is when storms come into our life, we panic, we hastily try to do what we can to strengthen up these things that we're trusting in. And a lot of them we find sometimes are of no real use. Sometimes they can even be counterproductive. You actually think of some of the reports we've been getting this past week where everyone is stocking up and depleting the stores of these different essentials in case this virus that's in the news becomes a pandemic. And we can look at it through the eyes of faith and say, yes, the situation is concerning. Yes, it's good to take precautions, but some of these reactions we see are somewhat premature and often misguided, that people are not necessarily thinking things through, that they're more in panic mode. And so it's something that we have to get to a point in our life where we're not being governed by fear, we're being governed by faith. And it's the thought that when we have the shadow of God's wings as a refuge, we can trust the Lord. And we don't have to be afraid of these things that could happen, that we know God has his hand of protection over us. If he wants us to go through difficulties, he'll be there with us. And even if through something we were to pass from this life, that if we know the Lord will be absent from the body and present with him. And so there's not much that we have to worry about when we really get down to it, that God has it in his hands and we can trust that. And so because we can find refuge under the shadow of his wings, because we can trust the Lord, we also can rejoice in him. And we see this in Psalm chapter 63, in verse number 7, where it says, "Because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice." And so that's kind of the thought we can have, that each time a storm comes into our life and we seek refuge under the shadow of the Almighty, when the storm does pass over and we find that our refuge has withstood the storm, we can rejoice in that. I think of a home we've lived in for the last 11 so years, that whenever we had one of those extremely windy days that we often get in this country, that you just kind of know, okay, how many shingles am I going to have to replace on this roof? That pretty well always you'd have to bring up half a bundle or a bundle and patch these different tabs of the shingles that are blown off. But it's kind of the thing. Last fall, we were able to change and put tin on the roof. And so now we've had some different winds that have gone through that have been quite strong, but yet I'm not having to climb up on the roof anymore after each storm. And so that's something for me. I'm rejoicing in that it's holding and it continues to do so. And so that's kind of the idea, and much more so is that when God brings us safely through each storm, that we really kind of can raise a cheer to the Lord because of that, And especially maybe when we think of refuge that we had tried of our own strength and wisdom that failed us, that we're in that same situation, but God is our refuge, and we found he has come through for us. We've seen how great his deliverance has been and continues to be. And that's, it builds our faith, and it helps us as we see day by day that we can rejoice in the shadow of his wings, because he has been a help to us day after day and year after year. That all other places of refuge men construct may fail, but we know that God never fails us, and so we can rejoice in him. And so, understanding what the shadow of the Almighty means, understanding as well the blessings that it provides, we all should desire to abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And to abide means to rest, to dwell, to remain, to continue. And with the storms of life being what they are, we don't want to get caught out of and away from our place of safety. We would much rather continue to remain in the shadow of his wings. And is that possible? Absolutely. We read in Jeremiah of how our God fills heaven and earth, and so he casts a very long shadow. We don't have to step out from under his protection in order to function in this world. It isn't like we race out to do things and then have to run back. That we can abide under the shadow of the Almighty each day, throughout the day, and no matter where we're at or what we're facing. But the question is, how do we do that? How do we make the shadow of the Almighty become a reality in our lives? And as we look at Psalm 91, I think the first phrase in the first verse really gives us the key, where he says, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." And so it's a thought that if we look at this, this is a principle that's laid down. It's really a promise given that God will honor. But of course, as we understand that, we need to understand its terms and conditions of this promise. That we will abide under the shadow of the Almighty if we dwell in the secret place of the Most High. And so we ask the question, well, what is this secret place of the Most High? We initially might be concerned by this phrase because we might think, well, this secret place of the Most High might be so secret that only a precious few can discover it. And so we want to understand that this secret place of the Most High, it is not secret because God wants to conceal it from us. Because actually he wants to let everyone in on this secret. It is secret because it is removed from sight. It is not a place that we can see with our physical eyes. It is a place we can see and enter into by faith. And as well, it is a secret place because few have been willing to seek out this place by faith until it is found. And so we think of it in this way, that God calls us to seek him. He calls us to draw nigh unto him in faith. He calls on us to deepen our relationship with him. We understand how much he wants to be near to us and dwell among us. That's why for all of us who have trusted in Christ as Savior, we have been given by God his Holy Spirit to reside within us, to abide with us forever. And so he abides with us, but we want to understand that he calls us to abide in him, to make him our dwelling place. And that's the thing, that we dwell in the secret place of the Most High. It's in a place where God becomes our dwelling place. And our tendency is that we often want to do our own thing, that we get easily distracted, we tend to ignore God's guidance and his leading, and we pursue after the things of this world. And when we get into trouble, usually of our own making, we rush back to God expecting him to fix what we've done. But yet our continual departing from him demonstrates that we don't value our relationship with him as much as we ought to, that we're not as devoted to him as we should be. Think about it. Do we spend time studying and meditating on God's Word, continuing to do so until we hear from God? Or are we too quick to just kind of read our chapter for the day and then continue on our way? Do we spend any significant time in prayer? Are we too quick to rush off to fulfill our own agenda and we just give a quick prayer in the morning that the Lord will just make everything we want to work out? And the fact is we're often guilty of not investing the necessary time in our relationship with God that we should. We're guilty of not abiding with Him and submitting to His governance in our lives. That we want to do our own thing, we want to have our fun as we think that it is, but when it gets to the point where it ceases to be fun, we're suffering the consequences of our bad decisions, we run to God to fix everything. But we really think about it, in such situations, for God to do that would only be reinforcing our bad behavior. And so we want to understand that He's saying to us, draw near to Me, stay close to Me. Don't let yourself be tricked into leaving this place of rest and safety that you have in Me. Abide with Me. Abide in this secret place. And as you do so, you will abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And we see at the latter part of Psalm 91 that it elaborates on this thought. We see beginning in verse 14, it says, because He hath set His love upon Me, therefore will I deliver Him. I will set Him on high because He hath known My name. He shall call upon Me and I will answer Him. I will be with Him in trouble. I will deliver Him and honor Him. With long life will I satisfy Him and show Him My salvation. That we understand that God will deliver us. He will be with us in trouble. He will answer our prayers. He will bring us to honor. He will satisfy us. He will show us His salvation. But why does He do that? And it's what we see there. Because we have set His love upon Him and because we have known His name. That we think, first of all, this thought of setting our love upon God. That our world is very confused about what love is. That many think love is some uncontrollable, unpredictable emotion. That we can fall in love, then we fall out of love, and that just happens. And we're not responsible for any of our actions in any of that. And we want to understand that's not true at all. That love, as we see in the Scriptures, love as we see demonstrated by God Himself, is a choice that we make. That we understand from the Scriptures that God has set His love upon us. And He has set His love upon us, He never removes it. It is always there. And in the same way, He calls us to set our love on Him. And it's that thought that where we honor Him, we value Him as our God, that we have a devotion to Him, a loyalty to Him, a desire to fellowship with Him, and a desire to see Him reveal Himself to us. That God wants us to know Him closely and intimately. He wants us to know Him as well as He knows us. He wants to gather us as a hen gathers its chicks under her wings. And so the question is, are we willing to allow Him to do so? Are we willing to invest ourselves in our relationship with Him, to enter into and dwell in that secret place of that Most High, that place of communion and closeness and fellowship that we can have with Him? And so really, as we think of it, as we step back and as we look at what God is offering to us here, we would say, well, why wouldn't we do so? Why would we want to step out from under His shadow and expose ourselves unnecessarily to danger? But yet in our stubbornness and our self-will, we realize we do that all the time. And I think we all recognize that tendency of ours needs to change. We want to and we need to have the shadow of the Almighty abiding over us throughout our lives. We do not want, nor do we need, to be facing the storms of life all alone and exposed, that we may not survive them if we do so. We need to come into closeness with Him, We need to nestle ourselves under his wings. And for us, we realize that started at salvation when we saw the storm of judgment that we were facing because of our sins that we've committed against God, committed against our fellow man. And we, in repentance and faith, fled to the refuge that God has provided us, the Lord Jesus Christ, that we trusted in his death, burial, and resurrection alone for our salvation. And when we did so, Jesus spread his wings over us. And we recognize the judgment that should have fallen on us fell on him instead. And we are delivered from the wrath that was to come. And so this is how we first enter into a relationship with the Lord. But from that point forward, we realize the importance of investing in our relationship with him. We must not allow ourselves to be drawn away of our own lusts. We must not panic when we see the storms of life coming. Instead, we must draw nigh to God. And in so doing, he'll draw nigh to us. We need to abide in him as he abides in us. We need to set our love upon him as he has set his love on us. And we need to seek to know him even as he knows us. And so we can abide under the shadow of the Almighty to the point that not only ourselves, but those around it can sense God's presence with us and his hand of protection upon us. And so the question is, will we, by faith, do what is necessary to make the shadow of the Almighty a reality in our lives? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this portion of your word. We thank you for these promises and principles that you give. And Lord, we just pray that we might draw nigh to you and be devoted unto you so that this can be not just some theological concept that we ponder, but a reality in our lives. Lord, we just pray that you would abide with us and help us to abide with you so that this may come to pass. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. So that brings us to our last hymn, which is number 269.